DUI response, Mr. President?
Now, why would he do that when he's on vacation? Again, sitting on the beach. My goodness. Hello. Welcome to the program, everyone. Joe Biden refusing to talk about Maui still. No one's been there. No one has been there. Kamala hasn't gone. Joe Biden hasn't gone. The scenes are really, really horrific with the death toll now approaching 100. So we got to talk about that. You know, he doesn't want to talk about Maui, but he does want to talk about Bidenomics and how it's working so darn great, right?
And guess what? Bidenomics is working.
Yeah, right. You just keep telling yourself that, buddy, okay? Over and over and over again. Maybe one day it'll be true. You know, Bidenomics is not working. We'll talk about inflation numbers. Meanwhile, the big sort of elephant in the room is what the heck was, quote unquote, working with his son and Ukraine and China and possibly him? Possibly him? I mean, we're going to get to this new poll because it shows President Biden and former President Trump in a dead heat. And at the same time, new questions are coming up about just exactly what Hunter Biden was really, really selling. All while, what, we're going to get a fourth indictment as early as today for Donald Trump? Listen to this. This, to me, is the real problem.
Knowing the guy, and he was the guy that was the expert in knowing the guy.
He was an expert in knowing the guy.
Right.
And who was the guy he knew?
Well, he knew a lot of people, but obviously there was some familiar, you know, his brother, his father, some of his father's siblings. So he knew a lot of people. And obviously I know you're pointing to, you know, the father being the key relationship.
Yeah, that would kind of be the elephant in the room, shall we say. That was Mr. Devin Archer speaking with Tucker Carlson about just exactly what that whole business was. That business was selling Joe Biden. When Joe Biden was vice president of the United States, I'd like to know what the business is now, right? I mean, business must be good because I saw Hunter going to that big dinner, the shindig with the Indian prime minister. That didn't sit right just as all this information came out. Welcome to the program, everyone. We are brought to you in part by LegacyPMInvestments.com. If you're investing in gold or silver, go check them out and get all your information there. Wonderful, wonderful team. 1-866-589-0560. Okay, starting on these polls right now. Unbelievably close. This is one of the latest in the hypothetical 2024 matchup. You have them running neck and neck. Trump and Biden neck and neck, both at 43%. So if I'm Joe Biden, I don't want to run against Donald Trump. Actually, I don't want to run against anyone. I don't think the Democrat Party wants him running against anyone. Another poll came out for Newsweek showing that Democrats are, in fact, concerned about his age. You think? Anyway, this is his competitor at this moment, Joe Biden's competitor. And it's very clear. I mean, if things continue as they are at present, it is clear that this is going to be the guy, Donald Trump, whether the Democrats want it or not, whether the Republicans want it or not. Let's face it, there's a lot of Republicans that do not want to see Donald Trump in that seat. Well, he's going to be the guy because according to all the key data, unless somehow they put him in jail, and even if they do, voters still like him. Look at this out of New Hampshire. 57% of New Hampshire GOP voters say they're going to back Trump, even if he's in prison. Even if he's in prison. So that tells you this is probably going to be the guy. So interesting that they're going after their political opponent. The Democrats are in such a really serious way when, again, I'm just going to go back to what I think the real story is, which would happen to be all that money that was going into the Biden family accounts, allegedly, although I've seen some of the bank records, Comer got those from the Treasury Department. For goodness sakes, you have 170 SARs, suspicious activity reports. How can that be? Like, no, that's like a big deal, right? To get a SARS. It's not like banks like even having to report that stuff because they have all these rules, know thy customer. If it gets to the state where they actually have to report it to Treasury, usually that's kind of a big deal. Anyway, NBC News reported on this whole thing a year ago in May of 2022. This is what this story is from, saying an analysis of Hunter Biden's hard drive shows that he and his firm made some $11 million off of these relationships, shall we say, coming out of Ukraine, a little out of China. Anyway, they made all that money and they spent it fast. So this is not a new story. But given that Burisma was paying all this money, $83,000 a month just to Hunter Biden, plus another $83,000 a month over to Mr. Devin Archer, who you just heard from, plus some extra, apparently, according to this NBC News story. And when Joe Biden is tasked with going after corruption in Ukraine as vice president. He admits this is what he did. He went after Shokin, Viktor Shokin, who is the prosecutor who is actually investigating Burisma and its payments to Hunter Biden. I mean, come on. And he willingly admits this. I'm going to show you a short clip of that now infamous statement made there at that gathering for the Council on Foreign Relations.
He didn't. So they said they were walking out to the press conference. Said, nah, I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Yeah. Funny how that works, huh? I mean, terrifying how that might work. And that's what we need answers to. And that's why Republicans were saying, wait a second, we need a special prosecutor here when it comes to Hunter Biden, because, hey, look, you're not really doing the job. They tried to bring charges in Delaware. They tried to bring charges in California. Everything got turned down. It took two whistleblowers who, by the way, were not political people. Actually, I believe they were registered Democrats. Not political people, but they came forward and said, this isn't right. This is not normal. And then it took that judge, Mary Ellen Noriega, to say, I can't sign off on this plea deal because it's not really clear what's going to happen in terms of Hunter Biden and his foreign lobbying charges, illegal possible foreign lobbying charges. And so consequently, Republicans, again, but this shouldn't be, by the way, it shouldn't be partisan. It should not be Republican, Democrat. I'm sorry, but bottom line, nobody should be selling access to the United States and the billions of taxpayer dollars that you could get as a result of it. And let's not kid ourselves. I mean, you look at the amount of money that has been spent in some of these projects overseas, including the one that's currently going on. And you got to say, wait a second. So now why did David Weiss get appointed? Dave, I'm happy they got a special prosecutor. You know that. I said that to you on Friday. Like, it has to have that. That is justice, right? You want to see a special prosecutor. And yet they put in a guy who actually has shown that, you know, he didn't really follow it through first couple times around, and took that judge finally saying, uh-uh. Well, there's this little thing called, you know, the law. You actually can't put David Weiss in the gig because, as I've highlighted, the special counsel shall be selected from outside the United States government. Special counsel shall be selected, I repeat, from outside the United States government. So why are you picking the guy that's in the government? David Weiss. I mean, somebody's got to like put their hand up and say, okay, enough. Either that or this just basically guarantees the whole impeachment proceedings because it's not right. Like, we have more questions and they need to be answered. And my big issue is how much Joe Biden was tied to Hunter Biden and this entire scandal. Now, let's take a look at what the LA Times tried to tell us. Oh, this was back in October of 2019. The New York Times had a very similar story, too. They were trying to say, what was he actually doing? Well, here's what he was actually doing. You know, this was like handwritten by the staff belonging to Joe Biden and the Democrat Party. Well, here's what he was doing. They actually talked specifically about Hunter Biden. And I quote, few here doubt that Hunter Biden was offered a lucrative position on the board of Burisma Holdings, a natural gas company controlled by a controversial businessman because of his father's prominence. Okay, so that's, they get that out there. And then they make this wild excuse. They say it's common. It's totally common in Eastern Europe, I quote, and much of the world, to hire a celebrity or relative of a senior official to burnish a company's image and to help shield it from official or unofficial shakedown. So it was totally normal. Like, wait a second. Like, I'm sorry. This is totally normal? Like, every administration basically puts their family on the staff of these boards? Now I get it. Now I get it. I wondered how politicians made their money. I always wondered, who would go into such a field? Who wants to go into such a field? What a miserable, thankless field. And by the way, it doesn't pay anything, right? Like, and yet all those members of Congress, you look at their stock portfolios. Wow. You know, it's outrageous. It shouldn't happen. You shouldn't be able to get a gig on the board of Burisma while your dad is controlling the purse strings for Ukraine. I mean, it just doesn't look right. Give me a break. All right. You know, we do have real problems. We do have real problems in this country right now. Economic problems. We have problems. Look, just there in Hawaii, horrible, horrible stuff.
We're done. Yeah, we're done. Be careful right here. There's debris all.
dogs that are searching there have apparently, at present state, only searched 3% of the island. There are lots of questions, by the way, from an environmental standpoint as to whether we should be doing more in terms of clearing these forests and having controlled burns so you don't run into situations like this. But nonetheless, here's the president's response. Here's the president's response when asked about Maui.
About the Hawaii response, Mr. President?
Like, I get it. He doesn't want to talk about his son. He doesn't want to talk about all those businesses that he set up. He doesn't want to talk about those phone calls. We know. Remember what he said to the Fox reporter? We know he doesn't want to talk about the phone calls to Hunter's clients.
There's this testimony now where one of your son's former business associates is claiming that you we're on speakerphone a lot with them, talking business. Is that what?
Never talk business to anybody. And I know you'd have a lousy question.
Well, what do you? It's why is that a lousy question?
Because it's not true.
Thank you, Mr. President.
All right. He says it's not true. That's what we need an investigation into, really, because we've now got testimony from Mr. Devin Archer, who's the business partner of Hunter Biden, saying that the dad would call into business meetings, dinner meetings, that was kind of normal. Anyway, he doesn't want to talk about that. He doesn't want to talk about that.
Any comments on the Biden death toll in Maui?
No comment.
Guess what? Bidenomics is working.
Asking the right questions when it comes to specific components of Bidenomics. So I think it's completely legit.
I'm going to stop it right there. That was Jared Bernstein you saw just continuing the conversation about the Biden economy. So you've got the president now trying to push this idea that Bidenomics is working. We've heard a lot from various commentators. They're out there on the trail saying, oh, you know, he's the next thing since FDR. This is his big thing. And I'm going to get to that because Jared gets into that. But he's actually asked, Jared's on the White House Economic Council, one of the economic advisors. He's actually asked, why is it that people don't feel like Bidenomics is working? Why is that? And he responds with, well, it's because the pollsters aren't asking the right questions. Gosh darn it. Here, listen to the rest of it.
Meant to ask people about approval and these sort of 30,000, 40,000 feet up questions. But at the same time, I also think it's really important, at least if you want to understand the answer to the question you just asked me, to ask people what they think about the largest investment in broadband that we've ever made in this country. This is basically doing what FDR did with rural electrification, doing that for broadband, which, of course, is so essential. Ask people how they feel about getting rid of non-compete clauses, about making things like hearing aids more affordable, about getting rid of junk fees. These are all initiatives that the president has already undertaken under that key pillar three.
Oh, please, please. You know, and I'm sorry, that whole non-compete clause that like helps bankers and television journalists. I'm sorry. It's not something that the average person really feels the effect of. So, Jared, you're kind of pie in the sky on that one. Listen, I'll tell you what matters. What matters to everyday people is that they can have a secure enough life and a good enough life. And right now, it doesn't feel so secure. It doesn't feel so secure because inflation keeps going higher. We saw the latest read showing consumer prices up again, 0.2%. 0.2%. It may not seem like a lot, but you see, it's been going up, 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 and away ever since Joe Biden came into office. And so consequently, we're up somewhere around 16%, really, in real terms, from when he started. And so, no, people don't feel like things are better. They don't feel like Bidenomics is working. They don't care about those non-compete clauses. They want to make sure that they can actually take care of their family in a similar way to how they did in the past. And so the more you just keep saying Bidenomics is working, the more out of touch you become and seem with everyday Americans, thus thereby hurting, again, your poll numbers, Mr. Biden, your poll numbers, which are neck and neck with Donald Trump's. I should point that there's another poll that came out. I think this one was from Emerson College, where he shows that he's actually Trump is up about a point over the president, current president. So it's going to be bitter. It's going to be rough, but there's a lot at stake right now. A lot of people feel that this administration kind of just makes its own rules. Its own rules doesn't even regard, you know, hey, the Supreme Court on anything, which brings us to this next story. Because if you recall, quite recently, the Supreme Court came out and said you cannot use race as one of the things or one of the criteria for admissions, college admissions, because sort of inherently by using race as one of the factors that you look at, well, that's inherently discriminatory in and of itself because race shouldn't matter, right? Period. Well, the Biden Department of Education and the Biden administration, they don't like that so much. And so they've come out with a quote unquote clarification. I want to share this with you. This just came out today. And Biden Department of Education is saying the institutions of higher education remain free to consider any quality or characteristic of a student that bears on the institution's admission decision, even if the student's application ties that characteristic to their lived experience with specifically race. So that's the workaround for you, everyone. Just so you know, there's a workaround according to Joe Biden and his team. We got it. And you can still use race as an issue. I mean, it's a pretty blatant sort of FU, right, to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, you can't use race. You can use other, you know, look, you do need, I would say, a student body that's interesting, a student body that is diverse intellectually, diverse economically, diverse in terms of where people are from geographically. But when you start saying, okay, if you're this color, you go in one pile, and if you're this color, you go in another, that's when you actually start to run into real problems. So it'll be interesting to see how this one unfolds. I think the colleges have their work cut out for them, but the administration is trying to say, hey, you know what? We can do this anyway, just like we can do our student loan thing anyway, right? I don't think so, guys. The Supreme Court struck that one too, and yet you're going back and back and back. That's the mark of a banana republic, if you ask me. Turning to some other news, Did you guys see the Barbie movie?
You are on the ground.
Black feet!
That's about how I felt when I heard, oh, great, there's going to be a sequel. You know, in fairness, I still haven't seen the first one. I just can't bring myself to do it. I mean, it's like 2 hours long, and I've seen the reviews, and most people are saying it's like an hour too long, right? It was just nauseating that it went on and on and on and on. And I don't think I can. I like pink, by the way. I love pink. I just can't really deal with a hot pink movie for 2 solid hours. I was a little more interested in Oppenheim. But listen to this. They've got a sequel coming out for Barbie, and of course they should. Why not? I mean, hey, the thing is major. It's like breaking every single record that has been $1.18 billion. That's how much this movie took in. $1.18 billion. So I'm sure Warner Brothers is really happy. I am sure, I am most sure that Mattel is really happy because this hopefully will revive Barbie in some way, shape, or form. Oppenheimer was another really successful one, but it only got $649 million. Anyway, point being, Margot Robbie is going to get a heck of a payday, as is the director, because they're going to need them, right, for the sequel. And of course, they are doing the sequel. You know, I want to turn to something else right now, because there was this weird incident on a plane a few months back. You'll remember this woman, Tiffany Gomez, kind of just totally lost it. I don't know if it was a panic attack. I don't know what it was. It was really wild. She started saying some things that you cannot say, like in an airport, about the plane going down. Take a listen and look at this, and you will remember exactly who she was. You may not have known her name. She's actually come out for the first time, and she's now responding to what happened that was caught on video and went totally viral. She's responding to it for the first time. And that's kind of a big deal because, you know, she hasn't wanted to talk about it, but who would, right, given what transpired? But this was the incident you'll remember.
But I am telling you right now, that right there is not real.
Okay, so that was what happened aboard that flight. And eventually they had to take her off. You had the federal marshals there. They carted her off. And I'm assuming she was in some kind of legal trouble as a result of that, because she said a whole lot more. And it was really, really disturbing. Well, again, she's out now with a statement, her first statement since all this transpired. And she's actually out with a new marketing company as well, because she was a marketing executive. And I tell you that not to be unkind and not to be too cynical, but I still am questioning just exactly what happened in the original event when she was.
But I am telling you right now, that there is not real.
And she didn't seem to understand, you know, whether people were real or not. And she made some other pretty wild accusations and got everybody really terrified that was on the flight. Well, here she is now. Watch.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Tiffany Gomez, probably better known as the crazy plane lady, which is completely warranted. As you know, I have been unwilling to speak on the viral video, but I do finally feel that it's time. First and foremost, I want to take full accountability for my actions. They were completely unacceptable. Distressed or not, I should have been in control of my emotions, and that was not the case. My use of profanity was completely unnecessary, and I want to apologize to everyone on that plane, especially those that had children aboard. Can't imagine going through that and trying to explain to your kid what in the world just happened. We all have our bad moments, some far worse than others, and mine happened to be caught on camera for the whole world to see multiple times. Sorry, trying not to sound like Minnie Mouse. Well, it has been really comical for everyone, and I have highly enjoyed so many of the memes. On the flip side, it is very invasive and unkind. And I don't know what I would do without the love and support of my friends and family. They are loyal to a fault, and I don't know what I did to deserve them. Sorry, y'all. I hope that I can use this experience and do a little bit of good in the world, and that is what I intend to do. I hope that you guys can accept my apology and I can begin to move on with my life.
She's got a marketing company now. So if you want to hire her for your next marketing campaign, go for it. Very, very strange. Listen, I don't know what to think about any of it. I was recently on a plane, actually, traveling with family, and there was a woman who went through a almost similar experience, who was muttering in her seat a whole bunch of things that were kind of similar to what Tiffany, maybe it was Tiffany, I don't know. Anyway, it was alarming, and, you know, small children get very worried when people say things like that. So maybe it's a wake-up call, like, look, as a nation, if we have a mental health problem, which clearly we do, we need to be addressing it, because you shouldn't be able to get on a plane in that kind of state. And it's horrible. I agree. Like, the whole world saw it. I mean, nothing is sort of sacred anymore. You don't have any anonymity anymore. It's out there for the open. And I guess you just kind of have to recognize that it's a different kind of stress, right, that young people do live with today. There was a study in the Wall Street Journal actually out this morning, not on mental health, but on homelessness and how we've seen this massive rise in homelessness, actually, unfortunately for Joe Biden, under Joe Biden. But I don't even know if it's tied to him necessarily. I think it's actually this mental health thing. I don't understand why we're having this massive rise, this massive issue now. I'm curious what you guys think. Let me know in the comments below. That would be really, really great, because it's not, you know, maybe it's social media. Maybe it's that we don't understand what's what. Day is night, night is day. Man is woman, woman is man. They have a pregnant man emoji on Apple. I mean, I don't know, like, are we tormenting people in a way with all of these questions, causing this kind of self-doubt in our youth that's really, really unhealthy? Anyway, I feel bad for Tiffany. I think it's interesting she's got this marketing company. I mean, granted, that's one way to, you know, kick things off with a bang. And I'm not being cynical about it. I don't know what's wrong with her. And I do feel tremendously sad that anybody is going through perhaps what she is going through with the memes, et cetera. You know, none of it's fun. But back to what somebody else is going through, and that would be Joe Biden and this idea that he wants to somehow sell us this.
Guess what? Bidenomics is working.
Yeah. And I get some real estate, you know, in oceanfront, what's the expression? Oceanfront real estate in Arizona that I want to say. Anyway, if you believe Bidenomics is working, then you probably don't care about this next commercial. If you're somebody who is skeptical about it, then I encourage you to call our great friends over at Legacy Precious Metals, legacypminvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560. Charles Thorngren, he runs the whole operation. He's actually going to be on the program this week. I believe it's Wednesday or Thursday, because you see, I'm still on the road. I'm traveling. I'm going to be back in my studio, in my comfort from my home studio, talking with all of you this week. So I look forward to that. And I'm going to be welcoming Charles Thorngren, the CEO of Legacy PM Investments, back on the show. So that'll be something to see. He's definitely got his concerns about the future. And I'll tell you, this guy has been spot on. He really has. He's gotten every single thing thus far from a macroeconomic perspective, as long as I've known him, quite right. So make sure you tune in for that. Wow. I'm looking at you guys. You're all sort of oceanfront property in Arizona, right? I got it, right? I'm looking at your commentary. Don, great to see you here. Leslie, of course, as always. Joel, I love that we've got sort of a community, if you would. We've all gotten to kind of know each other in the chat. And I certainly recognize so many of your names. And I think you recognize each other now as a result. So it's good to see you, Rocco. It's a mystery on the whole thing with that young woman, Tiffany Gomez. I mean, I heard one person, I think it was Benny Johnson, who is a guy who comes on the show now and then, is a YouTuber as well. He had the perspective that, you know, I don't know, like maybe she saved the planet. I mean, that seems kind of sort of wild, but, and he admitted that in his defense, but this is what people are speculating. You know, nobody really knows what she saw, or whether any of it was real. So curious to hear your thoughts. And again, if you're not in the live chat with the comments and reactions, go and just leave your thoughts below in the comments below, and we'll continue the conversation there. Again, wonderful to have you here. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you hit the subscribe button. It's really important. Make sure you also go over and you subscribe to the audio version of the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Everything is free. I am here every single day, and we have such an important time coming up as these polls get closer and closer. And as we learn, everyone, as we learn that the former president of the United States is going to be indicted again, the rumor now, a fourth indictment coming as early as today, and that indictment could be with 12 charges. So they're going after him from every single solitary angle. And as Mark Levin said the other day, it kind of feels Putin-esque, if you would. Very Putin-esque, right? You go after your rival. Anyway, we're going to keep talking about all of it. There's a lot that has to be sorted out. I'll see you here tomorrow.